Bible, the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Book of Matthew, chapter 6. And I want to read the first 18 verses together here tonight. Matthew, chapter 6. And a great Sermon on the Mount, our Savior speaking. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou may appear unto men to fast. But unto thy Father which in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you. We've had a blessed privilege this day to behold you, to see you, and to experience your presence. Now, Lord, tonight we ask you to move upon our hearts. We pray that you tonight would speak to us deeply. Move us, Lord, to that right position, that right spot in you, that place where our motives are pure and right and holy. They might be for your honor and glory and not for our own. Bless tonight, we pray in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I believe that when our Lord sees the works of men, He sees more than that which is on the surface. I believe behind every work is a motive, and our Lord can understand and feel and realize that motive which you and I have. My Bible teaches me that God seeth not as man seeth. I see that in the anointing of David as king. I find that throughout the Word of God, as he has judgments that are quite different than mine. There's a little phrase that we find here in this chapter that comes up three different times. That little phrase, I believe, gives us some insight into this chapter. I believe this little phrase marks what I would call an outline structure of the verses that we have just read. And that little phrase is found in verse 2, it's found in verse number 5, and it's found in verse number 16. And it simply is this: they have their reward. In the first section, we find that he is speaking of giving. He is speaking of how people give. And he's talking about those who give to be seen of men, and he says they have their reward. In the next section, he's talking about praying and goes in a great deal of detail. And of course, we have here what's sometimes referred to as the Lord's Prayer, a model prayer for you and I, great prayer to study. And so in this chapter, we find that these men praying, but they were praying to be heard of men. And so the Lord says they have their reward. And then we notice something that's not spoken of often in Christian circles, and that is fasting. If you've ever practiced fasting, you would understand that it is something that God wants us to do that takes us a little farther in the matter of prayer. And so here were some people that they would practice fasting, but they wanted to make sure that others knew that it was taking place. And so again, the Lord says they have their reward. All of these practices are honorable. All of these are things that God expects us of. All of these God gives us instruction in. Matter of fact, there's instruction right in this chapter concerning these things. But we find that this little phrase, they have the reward, reveals that it's not as much as what they do, but the motive behind it. Not so much as to what we do, but why we do it, that God becomes very concerned. Why do we do what we do? We find they gave to be seen. They prayed to be heard, not of God, but of men. They fasted they might appear more righteous than others. And God wants us to do these things because we love Him, because He be the one of our lives. If you turn with me, and I'm going to go to Matthew chapter number 23, we'll notice in that chapter that, especially as we remember and look at these Pharisees and Sadducees and remember along with this, that they were the ones that were really responsible for the initiation of Christ's death. They were the one who put Him on trial. And we can easily come to the conclusion, as we notice some things from this tremendous chapter, that the motive behind the work is more important than the work. I want us to, first of all, as we look here in this chapter, notice this. Every act out of a wrong motive, now listen to this, I believe this, is ultimately done for Satan. Did you hear that? Every act out of a wrong motive. We're talking about good acts we think are good. We're talking about works that we would call good works. But done out of a wrong motive is ultimately done for Satan. Interesting, in Matthew chapter 23, you will find that the Lord pronounces woe upon the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Eight times we find this taking place in this chapter, and each of these are really quite interesting to look at. In verse number 13, you will find the first, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." Interesting that the first several verses in this chapter is talking about the fact that they expected people to do certain things, but they would not do them. And we find that they were putting up particular acts for these folks to accomplish, to fulfill righteousness in their lives that they could not do. And we find that because of their love for preeminence, their love to stand in front of, their love to show people a direction to go, but weren't going that in their own way, God pronounces a woe upon them. In verse 14, we find the second one. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." And again, their prayers were what? For men to hear, not God. They wanted the preeminence, and they find that they wanted men to hear their prayers and to see them as wonderfully spiritual people. In verse 15, he pronounces another woe. And he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." And here we find that they sought after souls, but not souls for Christ's sake, but for their own record's sake. Oh, how we ought to really remember that one. I remember a time when I used to go out soul winning just so I could come back in and tell folks how many that I had led to Christ. And that be out of the wrong motive by all means. We find in verse number 16, "Woe unto ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is debtor." Here we find that they were saying, hey, there's certain things in the house of God they're worthy of swearing by, but other things were not. And basically what they were doing was showing no respect to the house of God. Though they showed respect to the gold of the house of God, but not the house of God itself. And so God is bringing condemnation upon them, pronouncing woe. And we see that they had money more of a God than God Himself. Verse number 23, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other done." And so we find that they made sure that people saw that, hey, they were giving, but it was out of the law, not out of a love for God. I remember years ago, we had a gentleman that came to our church for a time, and he got one of those tithing offering envelopes, and he'd stick it in his pocket, and he'd have it written on, and he never did put it in the offering plate. He just had it in his pocket so everybody could see it and walk around with that so everybody could see it, but never did put it in the offering plate. We're talking about that kind of thing here, that we might be seen of men. All right, wrong motive involved. It's for glory of self. Verse number 25, notice what he says there. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess." And he's talking about here those who are sticklers for appearance, but do not have the character that goes with it. In verse number 27, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones of all uncleanness." Let me read on. "Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity." They did good works, but again, it was not about the spiritual life. Matter of fact, they had no life. It was like a tomb, as he describes there. Verse number 29, he says there, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous." And we find that they were garnishing the prophets with wondrous adulations. But the prophets' words, the words that came by by our God's inspiration, that was not important to them. And so we find that they were men who looked at the outward things, and they got excited about those things, but not the inner things. And we find that they were wanting really the praises of men. And what are they doing? They are really doing the works of the devil. Notice verse number 31. "Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Here are men now who are very religious. They are doing the works, but their motives are wrong. It's for the purpose of their own self-indulgence, for their own self-satisfaction, and for their own self-promotion. And so, because of that, we find ultimately their works are done for Satan. Now, let me make another statement tonight, and that is this. Every act, I believe, will be measured with the balance, or in the balance, of charity. And I use the word charity because that's the Bible word used in 1 Corinthians 13. And I'd like for you to turn to that wonderful chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let me just challenge you with a few thoughts tonight from this chapter. As we think about our motives, why do we do what we do? Is it for self-promotion, or is it because we have a great love for God? And the word is charity, which I like because I see that as a working love, a giving love. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, you would read and you would study that the Lord has teaching us here about spiritual gifts. The Spirit of God, He gives to you and I certain abilities. And He gives all of us different ones. Some have one or two gifts, and some have other gifts. We find there's a number of them listed. I believe there perhaps are others that are not listed. But He gives gifts to the church, and those gifts are to be used for the benefit of others. But then He comes to chapter 13, and I believe what He's seeking to teach us is those gifts and those actions that we do, they need to be measured against this thing of love. Notice what He starts with in verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Service without charity, the Lord is consigning that to futility. Now this is a beautiful chapter. It's a wonderful chapter on the love of that we ought to have in our lives. But by the same token, it is, if we look at it in the right perspective, it is one of the most severe chapters you will find in the Bible. As God is taking us really through the ringer and asking us, are we serving Him out of the right motive? Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mercy and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. If we had an individual who came into this church and they made claim that they actually had moved a mountain, they believed God so much, and they said, come with us and we will show you the mountain that we move, we would be so awestruck by that. But God says, if that's not done with the right motive, we are nothing. Oh, how important is it that you and I have love in our hearts? How important it is that charity is within us. Though I bestow, He says in verse number 3, all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Though we're willing to spend all that we have, but if it's for the wrong reason, if it's not out of love for God and love for people, then God says, it's of no value. I love the next few verses because they're a wonderful definition of this thing of love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It's not about us. Love is about the loved object. It's about seeking the best for them. Goes on and says, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Wow. We could spend a lot of time in these verses in preaching, not the objective tonight, but I hope that it is something that you will allow to ruminate inside of you as we consider our motives. Why do we do what we do? Rejoiceth, He says, not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. God says we will go through anything when we love. Isn't that something? Charity never faileth. You can never lose by loving. Some folks become very afraid because, well, they've loved and lost, if we can use those terms. And they have loved some folks and they've poured their heart out and they seem like they've gotten stabbed in the back. And so they're afraid to do that once again. But brethren, let me tell you something. You can't really lose at this thing of loving. It just doesn't work that way. It might seem that way once in a while, but God says, hey, love never what? Faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. He says, hey, listen, prophecies, they're going to stop one of these days. That doesn't mean, by the way, that they're going to fail in not being true, okay? But it's talking about their ceasing. He's talking about there's going to be a time when tongues cease. I believe that's already taken place. Knowledge, it shall vanish away. Matter of fact, he says, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is done in part shall be done away. But what he's telling us is, charity, after all of these things, it's still that which is the force to be reckoned with. Was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. He says there's something far greater. And he's talking about love. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But notice here, the greatest of these is what? Charity. Charity. What's your motive? Why do you do what you do? Why do you teach a Sunday school? Why do you handle junior church? Why do you take an offering? Why do you play the piano? Why do you sing specials? Why do you work in Master Club? Why do you tell people about Jesus? Why do I preach from this pulpit? There must be a reason. Is it for self-exaltation? Or does it come out of love? If it's for any other reason, God says it profits us nothing. It's of no value. It doesn't help. Have you ever walked into a church service and you had the preacher ream you out and you thought all he was trying to do was get, he was just mad at you and all he wanted to do was scalp you? And he was, it wasn't because he loved you or cared about you and you walked out of there mad? I've been in that spot. You ever sat in a Sunday school class or been in some situation, man, you got reamed out royally, and it was because they were just really upset because it was messing up their plans? Then it's of no value. It's of no value. Listen, if I pastor this church and I want you to do right so it's going to make me look good in front of the brethren, so I might get an exalted position somewhere else, then it's the wrong reason. It's totally out of line. It's got to come out of love. But isn't this a wonderful thing? Isn't it something, though? How somebody, when they love us, they can really get under our skin and we're going to take it because we know they love us. Love can do things that nothing else can. What's our motive? Why are we doing it? Kids, I want you to think about it. Do you come to Sunday school and come to church and do the things that you do just because mom and dad make you? I hope down inside there's really a love for God. I hope it's because you have a desire to serve Him. Not just to be seen of your friends. Not just to go for, you know, just so I can have fun. It ought to have the right motive. What's our motive? Very important. Jesus saw through that, didn't He? He saw through it in Matthew chapter 6. I believe He saw through it in chapter 13. I believe in chapter 23, excuse me. And I believe here in this chapter in 1 Corinthians, He's saying, here is the motive. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Help us to examine ourselves. I believe, Lord, You've told us to do that often. I believe that we ought to constantly be looking at this thing. of our motive. Why do we do what we do? Father, so often we can get off track on this so easily. And we can be working for you and loving people about us, and all of a sudden it's about us. And so, Lord, that we might stay on the right track, the true track, that our motives might be pure and holy and right, that it might not be out of a love for you and a love for people. Lord Jesus, work in our hearts tonight. I pray that there's a need here tonight that might be taken care of. Maybe there's one here tonight that's been operating with wrong motives, and they're willing to inspect that and ask you to forgive them. Perhaps there's some other needs here tonight, but Lord, whatever it might be, that those things might be taken care of. Maybe there's one here tonight that never really truly been saved. They prayed a prayer, but really it wasn't because they loved you or had a love, a longing for you, but God just had the wrong motive. Lord, I pray that you just work and bless in these moments of invitation. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up.